Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Faye Clark.
You're welcome here, Faye. We're looking forward to what it is God has got to say through you to us. Amen.
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to take my shoes off. Got to get ready. It's holy ground, isn't it? So it's all right. Got to be comfortable. Yeah, God, I thank you for the opportunity to deliver your message today, God. I pray that you use me in the way that you want to. Father, I pray that you help me be effective in my communication. God, I can't do this, but you and your Holy Spirit through me can release something fresh into our lives today. God, we're ready to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we're ready to allow you to be at work in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Ooh. Feels like ages since I've stood here. Felt a bit nervous this morning, but that's good because that means that God can do it and I can't. So if you want a message title today, it's, Oh God, You Are My God. And I really felt when I was praying over these last couple of weeks that God wanted me to bring a message based on Psalm 63. Since Faith Camp, God's really been working this psalm in me afresh. Personally, in my own life, having me ensure that my well of worship is well watered. I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but the more you drink, well, me, and I'm talking about water when I say the more you drink, just in case anybody thought I meant anything else. But the more you drink, the thirstier you become. The more your body gets used to drinking water, the more water it feels like it needs. And it's a bit like that with God. The more we drink in of his living water, the more of him we want. Are you in a place right now where you are drinking him in, so you're getting thirsty more quickly for more of him? Or are you slightly dehydrated, but you don't realise it? And I googled dehydration, and some of the symptoms are grumpiness, sleepiness, dizziness, feeling a bit discombobulated. I feel like that all the time, to be honest. Well, not all the time. And it said that a lot of times, this was on the NHS website, a lot of the time you don't realise you're dehydrated till it's too late because you're already there. And God said, sometimes we don't realise we're spiritually dehydrated till we're getting lots of symptoms, and it's never too late with God. He's always waiting to rehydrate us. So let's take a look at Psalm 63 and see what we can learn from David through this psalm. I love David, the life of David. We can learn so much from him. He is my hero, one of them. Got lots of heroes. Steve's one of them and my dad's one, but David, I like King David, and God's my ultimate hero. Okay. When David wrote this psalm, he was in the wilderness, in the desert of Judah. I guess it's pretty dry in a desert. Well, I know because I've been to a desert. It's quite a dry place, not much water, hot, pretty unbearable. So when David wrote this, he wasn't in the temple, he wasn't in a comfy church, he wasn't got nice comfy seats with nice cushioned bottoms like we have this morning. He was in the desert. There in the desert, he was alone. He was removed. He was separated from every comfort, every protection, and every friend. He was suffering thirst and hunger and pain and loneliness and exhaustion. And I guess most of us can relate to one of these on some level or another. I know from being in Uganda, I know what it's like to be really thirsty when I've been out in the car all day. It's really dusty, all that red dust, and all you want is a nice cold glass of water. It's not likely to happen if you go to Uganda. But even when it's warm water, it's really refreshing because you're so dry and there's all that dust and it's pretty awful. But it's great at the same time. So I guess we can relate to David there in the desert. And he had loads of needs. Yet here David shares with us that his biggest need right now is his need to be closer to God in this psalm. So we're going to break it down. So verse 1 says this. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. However, I like the Message version, but I can't put that on the screen. And it says this. God, you are my God. I cannot get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and a thirst for God, travelling across dry and weary deserts. And right from the start, we can see that David is not, first of all, seeking food, water, comfort, or even rest. Even though he's in the desert, he badly needs all these things. What David hungers and thirsts for above all else is God. David seeks to be fully satisfied by God alone. He's searching for a deep communion with him. David, we could say, wants to have a closer and more intimate walk with God. It's time for us to be hungry again, church. We need to be desperately hungry for God. Andy Adams was talking about it at Faith Camp. It's time for us not to be satisfied by a brownie, but the banquet that God sets before us. The Bible tells us that he sets before us a banqueting table, not a chocolate brownie. And I don't know about you, but I hadn't realised until a couple of weeks ago how dehydrated I was. I don't mean physically. And so I started to listen to more worship music and I started to make sure that I didn't miss my quiet time with God. And you know, when you work and you help lead a church and you've got a family, making sure that you put God first is sometimes a little bit difficult. And I hadn't realised myself that I was dehydrated, and God started to speak to me through this psalm. This needs to be a desire, Faye. That well of worship needs to bubble up. Come on, I'm waiting for you. I'm desperate to see you. And I shared in a prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago that we use this psalm, and I'd nipped out and I had to go home for something. And when I walked in, Molly was so excited to see me, and I'd only been gone like 2 minutes. I'd literally turned around and gone back for something. And God said to me, that's how I am. I'm waiting. Every second that you're away from me, I'm waiting for you to walk through the door, to be excited to greet you, just in the same way as Molly did. And as I turned to leave, her little face, well, she's a drama queen. But her little face dropped as if to say, where are you going? You've only just got here and you're going out again. I was like, oh, I'll be back soon, baby. But you know, God has that same response when we go in, and then when we leave, he's like, you're going already? I've not had enough time with you. I want you to be here all the time. Molly would love us to be there all the time if she could. It's not possible, but she would love it. So it's time for us to get in that place of being fully hydrated by the living water that's free to us. Why is David seeking God? Because he's thirsty. And he knows that if he seeks first the kingdom of heaven, everything else is going to be added to him. We know that because that's what it says in Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added unto you. And what we need today, our believers, from the youngest to the oldest, men, women and children who are captivated by the pursuit of God, desiring to walk close with him. That's our own responsibility, our own choice to do that. And in this psalm, David shows us 5 keys to a closer walk with God. David knew what he had to do and what we can learn from him to deepen and closen our relationship with God. So key 1 is in verse 2. It says this, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and your glory. And in the Message it says this, so here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and your glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. They are strong words in the message. Here I am in a place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and your glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. That says to me that David said, well, before I was living with you, God, I wasn't living at all. Because now I'm living with you, I'm really living. So key one is to get ourselves to church, get ourselves into the sanctuary, get ourselves into the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in his strength, his glory, regardless of what the songs are, regardless of how we feel, when we get in God's presence and make that choice to abandon ourselves to worship, worship brings in the presence of God. Nobody else in this room might feel the presence of God, but if you're worshiping, you're going to have a God encounter, because worship opens up the ability to encounter God. So to walk close with God, one of the things we need to do is come to church. The word says, do not give up meeting together. So it must be really important, okay? We can't have a take it or leave it mentality. It says, be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm, because I'm going to spit you out. I want to be hot. I'm a bit hot here, actually. Getting a bit warm. We can't have a take it or leave it mentality. You might come on a Sunday morning, you might come on a Sunday evening, but you could come to both. I know it's the same message, but God could speak to you something in the morning and something else in the evening. You could come on a Tuesday, you could come to the gathering. It's not about what's happening, it's about coming into a place of connecting with God. And when we connect to the source, he empowers us. If you want a closer relationship with God, you've got to plug into the source. Together and on our own. Who here doesn't want a close walk with God? Then our desire should be to meet with him as often as we can. David longs for a close walk with God, and so he talks about worshipping him. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory. God, I cannot get enough of you. How many of us get up in the morning and go, God, yesterday I didn't get enough of you. Today I can't get enough of you, I need more. I don't. I'm just saying, I haven't got it all down, all right? I don't get up in the morning and go, whoa, it's Monday. God, I can't get enough of you. I normally go, oh, great, it's Monday and I've got to go to work again. Just being honest. My initial get up isn't, oh, God, today I want more of you. I cannot get enough of you. I need to spend as much time as I can with you. Whenever I've got a spare minute, I'm going to spend it with you. In saying this, David reminds us of why we come to church. We don't come to church out of habit or guilt, or we shouldn't. We come to church to meet with the living God. We come to church to meet him in his sanctuary, to lift our eyes up, to drink in his strength, to drink in his glory, to meet with him. It's not a fuzzy feeling. It's just a practical I'm meeting with God. We should come here first and foremost to meet with him. We don't come because of a good building or a good fellowship or a great worship team. We come because we want to meet with God. So key one, getting a place to meet with God. Key two is praise and glorifying God. So we're going to look at verse 3-5. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. You satisfy me, not with a Mars bar or a brownie, but with the richest of feasts. In the message it says this, my lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I breathe. My arms wave like banners to praise you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. Mmm, yummy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praise. Or you could have roast lamb, Steve. No one's saying it's just got to be roast beef. I was like, oh yeah, could just eat some roast beef right now. Yum, yum. Especially with Yorkshire pudding. But David mentions glory and praise, and he also tells us how and when to do it. With lips, with our mouths, with our hands, with our whole bodies, as long as we live. God, let your praise be always on my lips. To have a close walk with God, one of the things we have to do is praise him and glorify him with all of our being, with all of our life, waving our hands, singing our praises. Praise is praise is an important element of our walk with God. Listen, guys, praise is important. Praise will lift you from the miry clay. It'll wash you down. It'll fill you with joy. It will change your feeling, your situation, your circumstance. Those who want a closer walk with God, you need to praise and glorify him first and foremost with body and soul, heart, mind, mouth, hand, dancing. At home with the door shut where no one else can see you, go wild. You can be even more undignified than this. No one could see you. David was, I think he might even have not had any clothes on. Not that I'm saying that you should do that at home, mind, but, you know, the doors are closed, it's you and God, do what you like, as long as you're glorifying him and praising him. David was even more undignified. We can learn a lot. There's something really freeing, isn't there? I don't know about you, but you know, if you go to a disco, I don't know if people go to discos, I feel really old saying that. But you know, this, you're at a wedding reception and all the 60s and 70s music comes on and everybody gets onto the dance floor and they're giving it a groove and getting down with it and they're laughing and they're smiling and then all this modern music comes on and everybody deserts the dance floor. I'm just saying that you put yourself in that situation, you have so much fun, but you can have that much fun praising Jesus. You can get down on the dance floor and put some Hillsongs or Planet Shakers on or whatever floats your boat, whatever you like listening to, as long as it's glorifying God. Praise him, be undignified. It'll revolutionise your day, I promise. We've started singing just around the house. In fact, we had Let It Go on yesterday while we were cooking. And me and my family, we like to rewrite the words. And Ty was like, oh, that was so in time, Faye. I was like, well, no, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Well, I was pretty good, you know, I'm not boasting or anything. It was just the truth. And we were laughing and we were dancing around the kitchen. And I thought, you know, this is how God wants us to be in his presence. He just wants us to come and have fun and enjoy it. And it transforms our house, doesn't it? When we're singing and dancing and laughing, and it's amazing. You want to do that, it's going to set something free in your life. There are many sorrows and many trials in life. I'm not ignoring that. And if we allow them to, they can easily take away too much space. They can easily pull us away from him. But can I tell you this? Praise brings you right back into the touching place with Jesus. Those who want a closer walk with God make a point of praising him and glorifying him. Okay, so that's two keys. Key three, we find it in verse 6. And it's to spend time reading, meditating upon God. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. The message says this: if I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend hours in grateful reflection. Now, I have to say, if I'm awake at midnight, I'm a little bit grumpy. I don't immediately think, oh, thank you, God, I'm awake at 12 o'clock. Let me think about how amazing you are. No, no, no. Or if Steve gets up and then that disturbs me and I'm pretty grumpy, I'm honest, you know. Can't say in the middle of the night my first thought is, oh, thank you, Jesus, I can spend some time with you. Okay, but to have a closer walk with God, we have to meditate upon him and the things of him. Think about him. Take time to think about and read what his word says. Apply it. Ask God how he wants us to apply these things to our lives. And just spend time with him. It's important that we fill our mind and our thoughts with the right things, with the things of God. So easily in the night, especially, it's easy to think of other stuff. David's suggestion is to meditate upon the Lord and the things of the Lord, thinking about God. Or in the words of Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 2, it says this, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So often in the evening and the night time, the things of the day, the issues, stresses, the worries can invade our time and our sleep. But how about this? If we went to bed half an hour earlier and just spent time meditating on God before we went to sleep, how much more restful would our evening and our night be? How much more would we wake rested in the morning? I can't answer that. It's just a suggestion. When things are really tough, if we just take that time to draw aside, draw near to me and I will draw near to you is a promise in the word. If we just take time to draw near to God, meditate on him and all of those things, there's going to be that peace which passes all understanding that's going to just rest and reign. How about turning off all that garbage on the television and just spend some time meditating on God? How different would our lives look? How different would our relationships look? I can't give you the answer. I'm making a suggestion. We've stopped watching the television in the evening in our house, just because it's rubbish. And we've taken to start playing games together. And we sometimes play cards and sometimes we play Monopoly and we talk and we chat and we have wine down so that when we go to bed we're relaxed. And there's a different sense when we get ready for bed because there's not all of that rubbish. And, you know, there is some good stuff. I love Bake Off. You know, I'm not saying that all of television is rubbish. I'm just saying that in our home, we've chosen to do that because we recognise that it's more important for us to spend time together talking. What if we turned off the garbage that infuses our life and start to infuse it with the things of God? Start drinking more from him. We're going to get more thirsty for that. Our habits are going to change. We're going to get more inspired. We're going to hear him more. It's just a suggestion. Key 4. Okay, we can find this in verse 7 and 8. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? I find that those verses are so encouraging. You're my helper. He's always going to help me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wing. He's always protecting me. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. He's got me. I love it when Steve gives me a hug because he's so strong. I feel so safe. But God God's right hand stronger than Steve's right hand. God's hug is so much tighter than Steve's. So key four is this, sing. Pastor Lynn always says, I love the fact that doesn't matter what I sing here, because by the time it gets to heaven, it sounds amazing. I love that. To have a closer walk with God, one of the things you have to do is sing. So don't tell me that you can't sing, because when it gets to heaven, somebody that I can trust told me that it sounds really good. And you might say, well, that's all right for you, Faye, because you can sing. But it doesn't matter. It's a sweet sound. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14. I love this verse. It says, my dove in the hiding behind the rocks, behind the outcrop on the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. God doesn't care if you can sing in tune. He just cares that you sing. Now imagine this. David was by himself in the wilderness, no audience, yet he sang for joy. David knew that singing is an essential part of a believer's walk with God. And you know, it seems sometimes that people don't want to sing. And sometimes people don't even open their mouths. I'm not saying here, I'm just saying generally. I haven't been watching. I want to tell you this. It doesn't matter to God how good or bad you may sound. It doesn't make any difference to him whether you are on or off tune. It shouldn't make any difference to the person that you're sitting next to, because they should be so in God's presence that they don't really care whether you're singing in tune or out of tune. What it does make a difference to him is whether you sing or keep silent. He doesn't want you to keep silent. God has given us the gift of music in order to draw us to himself. In our hearts and our as our hearts and our voices are raised to him, to his very throne. Your singing raises straight to the throne of God. And the Bible says this, he rejoices over you with singing. So if God can rejoice over you with singing, then we can sing to him, can't we, guys? Release the song he's set inside of you. The word says, sing a new song to the Lord. Don't be afraid to sing. And the words are frozen. Ah, let it go. Come on, let it go. The word says, sing a new song. God's waiting for you to sing. He's waiting for you to release what is placed on the inside of you. That's going to be different for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you sing it in tune or not in tune. Sing it at home, sing in the shower, sing in the bath, sing in the bedroom, sing on your way to work. I'm always singing at work. Actually, I'm always humming. Maybe I should try singing the words. Everyone's always like, oh, what are you humming? You know, just a worship song. They're like, oh, I like that song. Well, yeah, you don't really know what I'm doing. Releasing something, the presence of God in this place. Okay, the last key. Rejoicing. And it's verses 9 to 11. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. At this point, David is actually being chased down by people while he's in the desert. He's not just hanging out there for no reason. People trying to kill him. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die before the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Closer walk with God, one of the things we need to do is rejoice. Brian used to have a very favourite saying, make the choice to rejoice, will ya? Bab. I'm not lying, it's the truth. I remember every Sunday before we started worship, he'd say, right, church, come on, make the choice to rejoice this morning. Come on, we're going in his presence. I can't say all of that in a Birmingham accent. It would wear me out. But he did. And it's true. The word says, Pastor Shane was saying in the prayer meeting this morning, we need to make the choice to rejoice. Only you can make that choice to rejoice in him. No one else can make it for you. Whatever's going on, whatever is going on, it's a choice to rejoice in him. I like to think of it this way. The more rubbish, the more that God's on work, is at work on my behalf, the more rubbish that I seem to be facing, I'm like, really, God? More? I'm not sure I can take any more. And I'm like, I'm reminded that even in the midst of that, God's at work on my behalf. If I can just rejoice in him, all is going to be well. David reminds us that those who want a closer walk with God rejoice despite the circumstances in their life. David was in the desert because of his enemies who were in pursuit of him. They hated him. They were seeking to kill him. He was hungry. He was thirsty. Now, come on, guys. None of us have got it that bad, have we? I don't think. No one's trying to chase you down to kill you. You're not in a desert with no water. You're not starving hungry. We've all got beautiful homes. Most of us have got some sort of food in the fridge. We haven't quite got it as bad as David. Yet, he announces that he's going to continue to rejoice in God. I'm not belittling those things. I'm just joking. Because they're real things to us. But when we make that choice to rejoice, it releases something of heaven. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul must have needed to reiterate the point because he says it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again, just in case you didn't get it the first time. Rejoice. Can you remember all those keys, or do I need to tell you again? I'm going to take it you got them all. And if you didn't, you can listen to the podcast. Let God renew it afresh in you. Oh, yes. Even better, come back into the presence of God tonight and you get to receive it a second time. Brilliant. Well, we'll see Brian back here tonight then. So we have some great keys. I don't know about you, but I love this psalm. It's a lifeline for me. And I'm going to read it to you again. Don't put it on the screen though, Angus. I've got a different version, sorry. Just sit back and let these words wash over you. Oh God, you are my God. I cannot get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and a thirst for God, travelling the dry and weary deserts. So, here I am, in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and your glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners to praise you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I lick my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at night, I spend the hours in grateful reflection because you've always, always stood up for me. I'm free to run and I'm free to play. I hold on to you, God, for dear life. And you, my Lord, hold me steady. I don't know if you're feeling dehydrated today, but God wants to pour afresh on you. He wants to refresh your soul. I don't know if you're in a place where this is your heart's cry or if you desire and want to be in a place where your heart cries out, oh God, you are my God. I cannot get enough of you. But we're going to worship now. And if you need a fresh touch of his Holy Spirit today, if you need rehydrating, then there's an invitation for you to come. Steve and I are available if you feel that you need someone to pray with you. But I really felt that God said to issue the invitation to just come and worship. And there's an ability to move from our seats and to just come and worship at the front here. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can lie. But I felt that God said he wanted to pour out afresh, to rehydrate those that are dry and thirsty and weary. Those that really desire for, oh God, you are my God. I cannot get enough of you. This is why we only worshipped a short time this morning. Because we wanted to give God the ability to move and have his way in us. I would encourage you to move from your seats. Don't worry about what other people think. Oh, they've gone to the front. They're not very hydrated. I don't care what other people think. I was dehydrated. I'm not afraid to admit that. And I got in God's presence. And I've made sure that that well of worship is getting watered. Today, if you need a fresh touch from the King, there's an amazing Godfrey Birtle song, Just One Touch from Him Changes Everything. Come and worship the King of Kings in his sanctuary this morning. The door of heaven stands wide open.